All Odds, part of the Extra Points Podcast. Cousin Sal coming to you on a Tuesday morning. Yeah, spaghetti and meatballs, fiddling with the knobs. I got babyface Joel Solomon producing this mess, and joining me, as always, my wizards of wagering, my gurus of gambling, my barons of betting, my overlords of the odds, a degenerate trifecta, Harry, Brother Bri, Darren, the parlay kid. What is happening, fellas?
What's going on, Sal?
What's up, Sal?
What's going on, buddy?
Here we go, here we go. Mets Yankees, boys, two game series. Why two? It should be the whole week.
Yeah.
Monday through Sunday. What the hell? What are we doing? Mets Yankees week. What are we doing? But two games now. You don't like it, Parlay? You don't care? This doesn't excite you.
This means a lot more to the Mets fans as the whole. I mean, for us, just another Tuesday.
I guess so.
That's all right.
If we blow you out twice, I don't think you're going to be too pleased. But no, it is a two game series, and then we meet up like the third week in August again for two games.
Yep.
So we'll figure it out. You're right. The evil empire holds an 80-59 advantage. That includes the postseason. That's their record against the Mets. And I was at the worst of those 80 game five, Shea Stadium. Bernie Williams circles under a Piazza drive. Piazza hits at the deep center. And the Mets lose 4-2. I knew it. I knew Bernie was under it. The crowd went nuts. And I was like, that's it. I'm like, I'm getting out of here. I raced to the 7 train and just waited for my cousin Jimmy and Jimmy Brusca. Like an idiot, I waited there 20 minutes, but I couldn't see the last out. And so I sprinted and that
TV,
was disgusting.
On TV, yeah. On TV, I thought that was out.
Yeah.
I thought it was out. Yep.
Definitely. I was just nervous. I saw him take one step back. I'm like, this is staying in the park. That was a good Yankees won 4-5. That was a decent series. Every game was one run or two run differential, right?
Right. I mean, game one was one of the great games.
Tremendous. And then game two, with Piazza and the bat, getting the bat thrown. Yeah. All that stuff. So that was fun. It continues tonight. What do we have? It's Montgomery versus Walker, Citi Field. We'll go over that a little later. Yankees slight favorite, -118. On the road. I do want to tease summer school with the Parlay Kid. Our lines are open. Cousin Sal against all odds at gmail.com. That's Cousin Sal against all odds at gmail.com. Yes, the calendar says July, but the Parlay Kid has 30 years as an educator under his belt, and he's ready to tackle any and all questions. Yes, that's summer school with the Parlay Kid. We'll get to one of those questions later.
Can I send an email, Sal? Is that okay if I send one?
Are you physically able to? I'd love to see it. I don't know. I mean, you try to respond to our outline every night, and I would say about 30% success rate. So
about 30%. No, that's okay. Okay.
Yeah, send an email. speaking of homework, Kyler Murray. Oh, I can't believe this got out, but Kyler Murray has a homework clause in his contract.
So
it really is. So he could get, is this how it works, Bri? He can get fined up to how many millions of dollars if he doesn't engage in at least 4 hours of what's called independent study during each week of the season from the Monday after training camp ends through the last game on the schedule, including postseason games.
Yeah. I mean, I don't know how it works. Like if he misses just one or, I don't know how this works, but I thought they said he could risk up to like $100 million. Like
that's what I guess saw. Yeah.
If they could cut the, I don't know if they could, end the contract early or whatever it is. I'm not sure.
If
how
he
it lays
fully
out,
disregards this and, so for them to put this in this, cause we've talked to GMs and we have friends and they said, I've never seen this before. This means this guy does no homework.
So bad.
And if you go by his interviews, he says, I have the cognitive ability to not have to rely on tape. I mean, he said that in the past. So they're like, we're giving you all this money. Probably, kid, what does the average quarterback do? Like 4 or 5 hours a day? This is 4 hours for the whole week? Are you kidding me?
Yeah,
watching tape, reading?
That's probably got to be the bare minimum for a professional quarterback, I would assume, too. They're asking him to do the bare minimum. When it comes
I feel like if we break down a Cardinals Rams game for the week, we will spend a combined 4 hours going over materials trying 100% to figure it out.
Yep. 100%.
What the hell is this? Players shall not receive any credit for independent study during any which materials is displayed, played on an iPad or electronic device. Players not personally studying or watching the material while it is being displayed or played. Players engage in other activities that may distract his attention, for example, watching television, playing video games, or browsing the internet. While I don't know who's monitoring this, but good God. And
software to monitor that.
Darren studied opposing softball teams more.
It's true. Well, I mean, I don't know about studying, but at the bar afterwards, yes, when we'd have our Diet Cokes and eat chicken wings, we'd talk about it for like 2.5 hours. Yeah. So there's that. Crazy. This is an embarrassment, because if he's all of a sudden good and you're a Cardinals fan, you're like, hey, asshole, thanks. Thanks for wasting 3 years, right?
Yeah.
And if he's bad, there's a question that he's not living up to this deal here. So.
Yeah, that's correct. Yeah, Parlay Kid prepares way more than this for a middle school football game. Way more.
Right.
In terms of like just, you know. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, at least when I was the head coach. Yeah, definitely.
But your quarterback probably does too. Like, right? I mean, just at least read up on past results and stuff.
Absolutely.
Should we have this in Harry's contract? A clause like this in Harry's contract? Like, you must watch 46% of the Super Bowl? Something like
that.
I was thinking that too.
This is along the lines of what Harry... I mean, Harry could sit here and critique Kyler Murray.
Yeah.
But Harry didn't even watch the Super Bowl this year. Right. So... and he's done
that's true.
You know, he doesn't.
I will say, I don't agree with this Kyler Murray thing, but in fairness, maybe I missed 80% of the Super Bowl, but the picks I gave out that week all pretty much won. So where's the line here, Parlay Kid?
Right. Well, I don't know where the line is. I mean, he's done well not watching tape, and then he's done shitty towards the end of the year. I mean, maybe you can only have 3.5 favorite teams per year. I don't know what kind of limitations we do, right?
You can only wear
the same weed-centric t-shirt 3 times a week. I don't know. Maybe we should have some of these clauses in there for you, Harry. Everyone's being monitored now. But anyway, we have props up on Kyler Murray. His rushing yards for the year, over-under is 500.5. His passing touchdowns, over-under 24.5. His passing yards, over-under is 4,000.5. We're going to go through these, my favorites, your favorites, guys. Let's start. I'm going rushing yards under 500.5, 423 last year, almost half of what he had in 2020, 88 attempts versus 103. I just think that number goes down. He shouldn't become a pocket passer. And if he watches any tape of himself, maybe that's the problem, Parlay Kid. He hasn't watched tape of himself in the pocket versus when he's able to scramble. But
absolutely,
he shouldn't become a pocket passer. And so that's probably what he's going to do, is he become a pocket passer. These guys run less and less as the years go on. We see it with Russell Wilson. We're going to see it with Josh Allen, I'm sure. There was only 2 games last year where he had 60 yards or more rushing. I'm not even sure he reaches 423 total from last year. I'm going under 500.5. Harry, you like over? I like under on all these anyway. You know how that is. That's how I stay above water a little bit, at least. Good. You like over, though.
I do. 1,800 yards in 3 seasons. I think TPK nailed it a couple shows ago when he said he got his contract locked down. Now maybe he can focus a little more in terms of running the ball, because last year there were so many times. Yes, Al, his numbers were down, no doubt about it. But there were so many times we were texting and watching these games with the Cardinals where it's obvious he could have taken off and gotten the first down and scrambled for 12. Instead of throwing the ball and incomplete, and like, he just didn't do it for some reason. And maybe he was really focused on the contract more than anything else. Obviously, at the end of the season, they tanked again, awful in the playoffs. And he is not going to have DeAndre Hopkins for probably like 6 games. Did get Hollywood Brown, who he did play with in Oklahoma a little bit, but Hollywood Brown's only averaged in 3 seasons 800 yards per season as well, and was on one of the worst passing teams in the NFL, in the Ravens the past couple of years. Last year ran 45 times. In 20, he ran 45 times more than last year. I think maybe he changes it around a little bit. And 500 yards is not that many considering what he's done the 2 years before last year. So I'm going to go over 500.
It's a lot considering last year. But yes, if you go back years and years, But no, look, this is the way to do it. You say for some reason he didn't run. Well, it's not completely nonsensical. He was looking to get a contract, right? So if he tears his ACL running, he's not going to get that long-term deal that he now has. So now that he has it, what does he do, Parlay Kid? Does he go back to his regular way of playing, the winning way, or does he still try to, is it self-preservation the rest of the way? I'm not sure. That's what we have to see. I'm not sure either.
And it would trend to him not running as much, just because that seems what most quarterbacks end up doing, that somebody's in their ear. Now, if I'm a Cardinals fan, I want to see my quarterback playing to his strengths, even if that means risking maybe a possible injury and, mm-hmm. and damaging the season. Because unless Murray is using his legs to go along with his arm, the Cardinals are a team that's going to be in contention to win a Super Bowl. If Murray is the guy that we see in those first three or four games of the year, we're like, oh, man, he's throwing, he's running, he's doing everything. The Cardinals could overachieve this year because I don't think any of us think they're going to have a great year this year. But he needs to do those things. If he's going to be a pocket passer, the Cardinals are staring like 7-10 or 8-9 right in the face, right? That's what they're staring at. If he wants to run the ball, they could win 10 or 11 games this year possibly. That's my
opinion. Yeah, they have AFC West, not good. Worst draw you could get for a division. And NFC South, pretty good, I would say. And then their extra games are, what would it be? Eagles at Vikings. And who would their extra AFC team be? The Patriots? Does that make sense? Yeah, I think that's it. So I don't know. Yeah. Do with that what you will. But okay, so you're going passing yards or touchdowns?
Probably. Yeah, I'm taking the under passing yards, under 4,000 passing yards. Mm-hmm. Murray has not hit this yet in his career. You know, even in the full complement of 16 games, first few seasons, he didn't hit it. Last year, he would have hit it if he played in his full allotment of games. But this is a guy that if I'm predicting he's going to run around a little bit more, he might get banged up a little bit more, might miss a game or two, and that's all it's going to take for him to go under. I think when there's a little bit of a question here, you go under. Plus, A.J. Green, Marquise Brown, Rondell Moore. I don't know if that's scaring too many people at all. And even with Hopkins back, I think we saw Hopkins, he's suspended for what, 6 games? Is that a suspension?
Yeah, they say he's going to maybe plan to appeal it, but he's stuck for 6, I'm pretty sure.
Okay, so
the tight end situation's not bad. They signed Zach. They stupidly, I think, drafted a tight end, this guy McBride, in the second round, when they have Max Williams, who's now PUP, and Zach Ertz. But
there's a lot of miles on these guys between Ertz, AJ Green, and even Hopkins. He was slow. He's slowing down considerably. Yeah. I mean, he's not the same receiver he was.
That was a Harry reach. That was a Harry reach in the first round 2 years ago, I think, in the art fantasy league. I was looking at that.
Absolutely.
Yep. Let me down. Totally let me down.
Yeah. There you go.
So I don't know. I don't think there's one guy
Ertz is still pretty good.
He's got mileage on him, and he's still a tight end. A tight end is not going to make or break you as a quarterback, I feel like. Right there, that's your safety valve, et cetera. So I don't think he's going to be the guy that's going to put Murray over 4,000 yards. It's going to be his receivers, et cetera. And I'm taking the under, like, because we know that unders anyway seem to hit at a much higher percentage than the overs.
Yeah, so Ertz is not going to help.
Under 4,000 yards.
Yardage wise, I think he had, I'm trying to look at his red zone touches because just in my head, I feel like he's had a lot.
He led the team in receiving yards.
18 total. Well, it was a mess. 18 total. There you go. For red zone targets last year, which is amongst the best in the league. Bri, you like it. You like that for him, and you like the touchdowns and 24.5. I think he was at 24 last year, right?
Well, that's the thing, right? So he was at 24 last year, but that was in 14 games, right? So if you actually looked at his past statistics, if he played 16 games last year, his numbers have improved, actually, from, you know, yards, touchdowns, actually would have improved last year. But that's going to be the question if he can stay healthy. I do know what Harry's saying, that it's a question now that he got his contract, will he run a little bit more? I mean, he really should. However, even this clause in his contract, them trying to make him more of a passer in the pocket, to me, I do feel like maybe he'll run even less this year. So I know he's missing Hopkins for 6 games, which is going to be big, but he's going to be comfortable with his former teammate in Brown there. He's still going to have Green and Ertz and then Rondell Moore and Connor out of the backfield. So I think if we think who he is in terms of like a pretty good quarterback, I mean, he should get into the upper 20s. 24.5 in 17 games is really low. So I think, again, it comes down to health. If he plays 14 games again, this should go over. But yeah, I know what you're saying, Sal. I mean, we love the unders in general for everybody like as a whole, but
and then
I
would isolate
still,
it. Yeah.
I would right. still take this one over 24.5.
Well, Connor got a whole bunch of touchdowns last year.
You could say, well, all right, they're playing the AFC West. There's going to be some high scoring games. They're going to be behind. He's going to throw. I mean, that could be one of your points there. So who knows? All right, let's go to baseball. Let's do it, guys. Mets, Yankees. Now, we have to have a bet here. We haven't done the cap of consequences. We haven't hit it up since Spaghetti had to shoot apples at Damashek after the Penguins were dethroned by his New York Rangers. But Yankees, Mets, I figure we'll set it up. By the way, first time they've ever met where both teams are in first place. Yankees, like I said, a slight favorite tonight, but we're going to bet the four-game series, two this week, tonight and tomorrow, and then two third week in August that conclude. And then it's me against Brother Bri, Parley Kid, Babyface Joel Solomon, Mikey Meatballs, and Eddie Spaghetti. I'll take you all on, all five of you, six of you, I don't care. Loser picks from the cap of consequences. If the series is tied after four games, maybe we all lose and pick. I don't know. No, we'll do run differential, right? What do you want to do? Run differential or we all pick if we lose on a tie?
Thought I was jumping on with you, Sal.
Thought I was wanna do? You want to be on the mat? I feel
yeah,
like
I'm,
that
in,
be-
I'm in with the. I'll take Walker right. over the Yankees, definitely.
All right. Well, that's just
yeah,
one
I
game.
Think run, I think, run, dif- yeah. I think yeah. run differential.
Okay,
I think
we'll run do run differential. Like and if it's tied, we'll all, after that, we'll all pick. So we'll get to that in a second. Actually, let's give your pick of the day. Parlay Kid, neither of you are touching this game for your pick of the day. You or Brian, or you or Harry?
No, I don't want to touch this one. I don't want to touch Mets. I just want to enjoy it, Sal.
Okay.
Just enjoy the game.
Good. Good. All right.
But
so what is
I have a pick if you want me to give you my pick.
Yeah, go crazy.
All right, good. I do have a pick. Well, see, now, yesterday on the pod, we all gave a baseball pick. Mm. A disaster of a night for you, Harry, and Brian, where you had really heavy favorites, and they all got kind of beat up last night, right? They all kind of got blown out. So what I'm doing is I'm coming back with all of your losers on a parlay tonight.
Nice.
Which I like. And again, because we're talking about superior teams, and in each matchup, there's a superior pitcher starting.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so I'm taking the Houston Astros against the lowly A's. Astros mounted a little bit of a comeback in that game yesterday, but just not enough to get the win for Harry. So I'm taking the Astros. I'm taking the San Francisco Giants. Carlos Rodon is on the mound tonight.
They pitch against the guy. I had him, you know, they had a pitching change, the Diamondbacks, and the Giants ended up being -106 instead of -136. But now they go against that Gilbert, who's been bad. Like a 5-4
and he's been
right.
So the advantage Giants and the Giants are bound to break their losing streak here, right? They've played terribly out of the break, and I'm taking the Dodgers over the Nationals. White on the mound for the Dodgers. Josiah Gray on the mound for the Nationals. White's certainly not amongst the Dodgers' top starters, but he's significantly better, at least stat wise, than Gray. So if you add up these three games, Sal. Plus 246 money line parlay here for these three teams. I like it.
I like it as much as a kind of meaningless three team parlay in the middle of July you could get, but I do like the teams. Dodgers, Astros. How about respond? How about Giants? Don't go down 6-0 for God's sakes.
Oh my gosh!
Give everybody a chance.
Oh my
gosh. Same with the Astros. All these teams. The Dodgers got beat up also. All right, Harry, what's your pick?
Yeah, I'm going to go with my extra points video tonight as well. I'm going to take the Padres -1.5 versus the Tigers at -110. Another team that got blown out last night. Cannot allow the Tigers to take you down again. Clevinger's on the hill for the Padres. Went 6 innings in his last start. Gave up 1 run. Had 8 Ks. Come on, Manny Machado. It's time to wake up, man. 4 of his last 23. 7 Ks in those 23 at-bats. I think he wakes up and has a big
terrible
game tonight.
In July. Yeah.
Huh? Terrible.
He's been bad in July.
Absolutely.
Every month has gotten worse. Yeah.
Yeah. And Garrett Hill on the hill for the Tigers. 9 earned runs he's given up in his last 10 innings pitched. San Diego's still two and a half up in the for the second wild card. Gotta win these games against Detroit. Let's get some runs tonight and cover the 1.5.
All right. Brother Brian, let's do it. It's time to talk about the only game that counts. The only game in town. Right now, Mets, Yankees, let's do it. Our underdog pick of the day. I am going Taiwan Walker. Yeah, over 17 and a half pitching outs. I love this little prop on Underdog. I can't seem to win it, but I'm going to win it today. Gosh darn it. June 2nd was the last time Walker didn't stick around for 18 outs, and he had 17 on June 2nd. Since then, eight starts of six innings or more. Yankees only hitting 223 against him career-wise, and that's a substantial, I think, 140 at-bats. That's pretty substantial. Walker's a bulldog. He eats up seven scoreless versus the Yankees. Bet him over 17 and a half pitching outs on Underdog. Brother Bri, which rivalry matchup are you looking at?
Well, Sal, let me first say we are 4-0 in Underdog picks the last two times we have done this together.
Nice.
So let's make it 6-0. So my Underdog rivalry pick of the day is going to be Francisco Lindor to have more total bases than Anthony Rizzo. Lindor has at least one hit in 13 of his last 14 games. Meanwhile, Rizzo's been pretty bad. He's 3 for his last 20 with only one extra base hit, has no homers since July 3rd. So give me the hotter Lindor to have more total bases tonight.
You are rooting for the Mets tonight. I love it. I love it, Brother Brian.
Just,
yeah.
just this matchup.
Do it. Yes, we did it. Underdog Fantasy, nice. The best and easiest place to play fantasy sports. No waivers, trades, or lineup settings. Set it and forget it. Underdog Fantasy lets you draft a fantasy dream team in minutes. They have pick'em games. You can win up to 20 times on your money in one night. Pick over or under on your favorite player stats to win big. And you also pick from the rivalry section, like you saw Brother Bri do. Pits two players against each other. Sign up now with code COUSINSAL. And you'll double your first deposit up to $100 in bonus cash when you make your first deposit of $10 or more. Deposit $100, get $100 free. Yes. Also, best ball prize. Get on this Underdog. Do it. Put a fantasy football team together. $10 million in prize money. Seven-figure prize last year. It was drafted in June, so it's not too early. Go on there. Draft a team. Like I said, first deposit up to $100. You get $100 back with promo code COUSINSAL. Four free entries into Best Ball Mania 3. All right.
How about we all do that, right? We should all do it. And then whoever gets the highest, whatever score at the end of the year wins something. Right?
I love it. I love it. The Underdog Challenge. Let's put a football lineup together. In the meantime, our Mets Yankees cap of consequences. We got some good ideas here. The suicide slice, keep it all New York. The loser between the Mets Yankees, either it's me or all you guys, or me and Harry or you guys, eat a slice of pizza with a mishmash of a horrific items chosen by the winner. All right, that'll be good. Okay. It could be like anchovies and nerds. You got to win. You got to win, Parlay right. Kid. Bronx Bombers, the loser has to open and smell a fart in a jar. I could do that.
I could do that too. Yeah, I could do that.
Oh, God, that's terrible.
Ooh, the baby Ruth. The loser has to eat 5 baby Ruths during a podcast. 5 is a lot. 5? Yeah, baby face, Joel. Scott, who did you do? Scott, you said this? 5?
5 full-size bars?
Yeah. Okay, 6.
In an hour?
6.
I take that over the other two.
What about 5 quarter pounders with cheese?
I mean, it should be 3 in honor of baby Ruth, I guess.
Yeah, I think that's the thing. It's all about Babe Ruth, right?
Yeah, Harry. We could do any food item, but we're trying to keep it New York centric.
But honestly, I take 5 of the 3 you've mentioned. I'd eat 5 of those during the podcast before any of the other stuff you meant. Yes.
Huh. Loser has to ride subway. Loser has to ride the subway in their town and post a video singing the songs of the other team, or just decked out head to toe in rival gear. Okay. And we'll be throwing more of these in the cap.
You get killed in New York for doing something like that. Good. I mean, I don't think I'd last on a subway. On a subway?
I'm out here. There's like 3 people take the subway. It's better for me. Yeah. That one particular is better for me. All right, let's take a quick break, and then we'll talk some NBA. All right, so you know, I don't love talking NBA right now in the third week in July, but there's not a lot. There's not a lot on the sports ledger. You know, I don't know. We'll talk about what we're supposed to do. Spend 20 minutes on Aaron Rodgers, slow motion, Con Air reboot audition. I'm not sure what we're supposed to do after a while. Devontae Adams likes his quarterback. He gets chastised for it. So it's pretty thin. Now, though, I will say there is a change at the top in 2022-2023 NBA championship winner. The Celtics are now plus 450 odds, and this is based solely on the rumors that they're putting together a package for Kevin Durant. As of now, all I've heard is that Jaylen Brown is in the package. It's like, yeah, we have a Jaylen Brown package for you. It's like, okay, what's the package? It's him and What is his mother's going to cook for the team? Like, I don't know what else is in this package, Brother Bri. Have you heard anything?
They were asking. I guess it's picks. They were asking. Yeah. So they were asking for three unprotected picks too, in addition to Brown, which seems, I mean, that's a lot.
And the Nets said no. The Nets said no to that.
Well, I think that's what the Nets are asking for. I think they want Brown and three picks. I don't know what. Yeah, I don't know what.
I think they offered something that the Nets said. Said no to already. No, like, we'll get back to you. But this would suck. I'm just thinking Simmons and Hench, and we'll never get football season started if Kevin F. and Durant goes to the
Durant's
Celtics.
Weak. He's weak.
He's weak?
He piggybacked off the Warriors when he won the championships. Was terrible in the playoffs last year. Didn't even take shots when he was supposed to and be a leader. Couldn't even win a game against Boston. Now he's going to jump on the Celtics? Come on.
I don't know. I mean, you know, we all love the Nets, right? With Kevin Durant and Kyrie. And even when they were like a 7-10 seed, we're like, the Nets are still favored to come out of the East. Like, okay, this is ridiculous, but it makes sense that the Celtics would be fit depending on how much they give up, right? Parley kid, but shit, who's better than the Celtics with Kevin Durant on that team in the East?
I agree with that, Sal. And this is where I think, the Knicks could come in handy in something like this. Maybe the Knicks could get involved in a three-way with the Knicks have the draft picks.
For Mitchell.
Maybe the Knicks could get Brown. The Nets get the picks and the Celtics get Durant and something like that in that realm. If that's the case. Because these guys are commitment. These guys who might not even be superstars. Boy, oh boy, these GMs trying to really command a hefty,
well, that's the thing. Yeah, and we talk about it. There's like five of these guys now. I mean, at least Harden, he did the great thing. He like stayed with his team, signed a 2-year deal. It's supposed to be commendable, but okay, that he's set. But really, we talk about this between Westbrook and Kyrie and Durant and Harden. There's like four or five like superstars who they're kind of untouchable. You don't know what you're going to get out of them. Babyface, what's the deal here? What do they want?
Oh, I think, who knows? It's hearsay, but Brooklyn also wanted them to include Marcus Smart, more draft picks, and potentially an additional rotation player. And I think Junior's Cheesecake. They wanted some Junior's Cheesecake.
A rotation player. Well, Brooklyn has the cheesecake. They don't need more. All right. Another good thing. Well, this is fun. Like Draymond Green puts out that tweet saying he would have beat the Bulls by a dub and the Jazz by 40. And he's like, this is why it's stupid to compare this. And I'm like, it's not stupid. It's the only thing that keeps me going comparing these teams from 2020 to 1998. But what is the line, Bri? I think it's tough. If the 17 Warriors face the 98 Bulls, or is he talking about this year's Warriors or the 17 Warriors?
The 17 Warriors. Yeah. I think you said he was going back. Yeah. The 17 Warriors, 17 Warriors were better.
Yeah.
But I'm trying to think of a line. I will say Draymond, like in that tweet that he put out there, he said, like, if the Bulls played this type of style, we would beat them. That's why he was saying it's not good to compare, because he said in that style, which I agree with. Like, obviously, if that Bulls team was playing now, like Michael Jordan would be a good, great 3-point shooter. I'm sure. But I would say the Warriors would be like minus 170.
Gotcha. I think that's fair. Harry, you're thinking underdog?
I'd be all over the Bulls. You guys remember, they had Longley, Winnington, and Rodman down low. They actually played defense. They congested the middle. There was no inside play. You'd have to, the Splash Brothers would have to rely all over
about
their three-pointers.
Kukoc too, Harry.
Darren, how about, and then you got Pippen and Jordan playing defense along with those. So Ron Harper and Scott Burrell out at the top. And then also in 21 playoff games 13, that year.
I mean, you're using a lot of years here. As you've named like 15 players.
Listen, in 21 playoff games that year in 1998, 21 playoff games, the Bulls allowed 100 points or more twice.
Look,
in the finals.
Right.
In the finals, they held the Jazz to 54 points
threes,
in a game.
No one shot threes.
They did in time. Still, 54 points. The Jazz scored 80 points in every game against the Bulls in the 80s and 54 in game three.
I think
I mean, that's crazy to say, because if you, how many points did the Warriors score compared to the Bulls? Like, if you want to play that game, I just go to individual matchups.
Stop the three pointers from Golden State and you got them and you win the game with ease.
Interesting. That's easy enough. Well,
it is when you have Jordan, Pippen, and Rodman.
Who wins
and
those
Harper.
Matchups, though? How many matchups do the Bulls win? The Jordan matchup and I guess the Pippen matchup. I think they get beat on every other. I don't know. I think that's a fair number, Bri, -170.
Yeah.
When you got no center play for Golden State.
I mean, that Warriors team was, what, 16-1 in the playoffs that year?
Celtics were supposed to be a good defensive team, too.
Player for player.
Not like this
Jordan,
Bulls team.
Jordan Curry.
Yeah. Okay.
Pippen, Klay Thompson.
Yeah. Pippen.
Okay. Well, and now... I mean, Rodman
versus Green's defense is the same.
I mean,
same defense.
I think it's green. I give Harry a slight favorite.
Well, Durant was on that team, right?
That's what I'm saying. Durant. Yeah. Right.
Well, they dominated everybody.
Yeah.
But at the same point, I had to look at the depth on the Warriors there too. I mean, the Bulls were pretty deep in terms of defensively in this. And you know, you want to talk styles, and yes, you talk the shooting, but have they ever played a defensive team like that Bulls team? Like, seriously.
Yeah,
like,
exactly. Darren.
These are guys at every possession, they're playing hard.
You get 18 fouls down low. 18 fouls down low, you can conclude with Longley, Winnington, and Rodman. 18 fouls.
I love talking about it, but eventually it's Durant against Kukoc, right? And if they want to help Kukoc out there, one of the Splash Brothers is going to be open three. Like, I don't know.
But all right, so
Ron Harper was a hell of a defender too.
Jordan Durant.
Yeah, so right? if you want to do it like that.
You're still governing Jordan. I'll match up.
What do you mean? Like, so I think they score as many points against each other.
Who's got the top five players? Who's got the top?
You can give Jordan the edge there, but it's not like Jordan's going to win that matchup 35-12. Yeah.
The Warriors have three
Jordan
of the top
Pippen
five.
Knew how to drive to the hoop too.
But if you go out of top 10, is it like, I don't know. I guess it's five and five. I don't know.
It's true.
That's a good debate.
Even if you give Jordan the nod over Durant or Curry, it's not like Jordan's going to beat him points-wise per game 35-12, right? That's going to be close. I think every matchup you give the Bulls is close, and then the Warriors just too much scoring on that. I get it. Defense and everything else.
Let's just ask Alec.
I don't think the scoring would be there. The scoring wouldn't be there for Golden State. You can give Durant over Jordan and the Bulls still win.
I mean, how many points do you think they'd score, Harry, Golden State? You think they're under 100?
100? 100 against this team? 105?
See, I mean, it also depends. I mean, you're talking the 98 Bulls, which...
Yeah, how come he didn't say the 95-96
Yeah, right.
Bulls?
I thought he would go earlier there.
Right.
Yeah.
Like, so that's a little different.
72 games.
Because
that
I still think Bill Wennington's in there, Darren.
What are you talking about? Bill Wennington? You're going to change our mind because of Bill Wennington?
roster-wise, the 98 Bulls are probably a little deeper than the 96 team that won 72 games.
I guess so. Yeah.
Yeah.
So, you know.
All right.
Well, yeah, it's hard to say because I always thought the Lakers, the early Lakers in the 2000s, I always thought they were better than the Bulls like in Joel, 98, but I don't know.
Where's Joel coming up with his three-point shooting contest anyway? So we got any movement, Joel? Anything, Joel?
What's the contest?
Him and Draymond Green.
Oh, please.
Made any progress here, Joel?
I'm going to reach out to Dickie Simpkins after the show.
Take him down too.
There you go. I feel bad. We did it, Draymond. We spent 10 minutes on it and we didn't solve anything. So you're right. It's stupid. Hey, Cousin Sal against all odds at gmail.com. That's where you write to the Parlay Kid. You write to any of us on any of this stuff. But the Parlay Kid has taken summer school questions. And one is from possibly our biggest fan, I think. Chris Haynes. Good guy, listens to the show, records our terrible picks and for posterity, gives us our records at the end of the month. Sometimes I I retweet it unless it's as dismal as it's been. But no, we've been all right. But he does write, Chris Haynes writes, props to TPK, the Parlay Kid, for sticking around in public education. I say this as someone who spent 14 years in the field and had my fill, eventually transitioning out of education. Now, we often see and hear folks complaining about subjects that are and are not taught in school. If TPK could drop a few required courses, which would they be? And if he could add a few much needed courses, what would they be? Chris H, thanks for the question. I think that's a good question, Parlay Kid. I don't know if you've thought about this before.
Yeah, I think, I mean, if you're going to add, you just should add more statistics classes for gamblers like us. So
love
we know I could add up the parlay odds. As you guys know, it took me years to figure it out. I still can't figure that stuff out off the top of my head. I mean, I got to use the parlay calculator. Brother Bri doesn't need the parlay calculator. Give him like eight games and he knows the parlay odds. So anything statistics related.
You know, I don't know if you've been kidding around, but I prided myself, and I'm sure you were the same at like 8 years old. We could figure out batting averages, right?
100%.
Yeah.
That's why I was always pretty good at like your basic division.
Of course you have to be good at that.
And stuff like that. Because I mean, the basic stuff like math, I was great at a young age, probably because of baseball.
Right.
Averages.
Yeah, just nail the basic averages. Know how much to leave for a tip. Know what somebody's earned run average is. Don't worry about AB squared and all that nonsense. Okay, go ahead.
Right. So all that, I definitely think, you know, obviously more, definitely more of an emphasis on the mental health angle these days for the youth. And if you probably get rid of something, chemistry. I absolutely hate it. I think you got to know you.
I know. I'm
chemistry.
Yeah.
Chemistry. Sal.
Homac.
Miss Angione.
Right.
Chemistry. She would read my grade out loud to the class. Like she would just say, you know, Harry, you know, 95, Sal, 90s, Darren, 42.
I think that was a thing back then. Jack Mack would do that too with business law, right?
Holy smokes. And you'd be like, you know. So,
it was really like you're about to receive like an Academy Award because they're going down. They would go down. They would go down in numerical order, right? So you don't want to be the last one mentioned, right? After when it hits 75, you're like, shit, what did I do here? Yeah.
That was like an old school way. So, but I don't think there's certainly classes that unless you're going into a certain field, I definitely think we need some more trade courses for kids too. I mean, right. So we do offer those here in like our BOCES program schools where people can take carpentry or auto mechanics. We think we need more of those type of workers.
So biology is important, kind of chemistry. Not so
I'm
much.
I'm biased with chemistry. Yeah. I'll say let's get rid of that unless you're going to be you're going into some type of chemistry.
There you go.
I agree.
You're right.
Well, you agree with that, Harry?
I do.
Okay,
I never got Regents diploma because I couldn't pass biology. I took it three times.
Biology was the first one, too.
That was 10th grade.
Earth science
was 9th.
Earth science.
Yeah, I took biology. As a senior, I took it with 10th graders, and physics. I failed it again.
It was always earth science, biology, chemistry, physics, right? And that's how it went.
63. Couldn't pass it.
Wow.
I think that's your tennis scores, too,
great.
When you played Bri. It was the same thing. we had Mr. Thompson for you had Kavanaugh? I had Thompson for biology.
I had Miss Senzer for biology.
Senzer. So. Interesting. Okay.
Senzer for bio. She got me through that. I was struggled, and then she was a good teacher. I ended up doing pretty well in bio, thanks to her.
Well,
that's
the Miss Senzer thing, and I know you wanted to talk about this, Parlay Kid, but the Mr. Senzer, Senzer was the principal?
Assistant principal.
He never made it to principal? Is it assistant principal?
I think Strassel was the principal, for you?
Yeah. No, not for me, but then when years later when I had an ice cream truck for 3 weeks with John Finken, I tried to park at the school and give the kids ice cream, and he came running out. and said, you have to be 500 yards from the school. I was like, these kids are just going to follow us and they're going to get hit by cars and just fucking let us park here. What are you doing? It's like, and Finken ended up cursing him out because he saw the opportunity to swear.
Sal, speaking of numbers, teacher, I hope you're in charge of the money with Finken. And
there was no money. We made no money. It didn't matter. It sucked because we had to, and we bring this up because the Choco Taco is probably no more. But now I'm reading, didn't Darren Revelle say someone bought the Choco Taco, so it's now back on the market? This might have been marketing ploy. Yeah, it was off the market for a minute. But anyway, we sold that. You had to sell all so good great. Humor products, so you had to buy from them. You couldn't buy, but by the end of the 2 weeks, we were just buying from the local grocery store. We didn't give a shit.
So what was it? If I had to guess, top seller was snow cones.
Snow cones were big. I think just ice cream sandwiches were big.
Strawberry shortcake.
Great. I love the toasted almond. That was mine.
Toasted almond. That's the best favorite one. Sal.
Do they still have them out there? I don't know.
Yeah.
They have.
I don't know if the ice cream men do.
You can get them in the grocery stores, actually. Yeah.
Grocery store stuff. Yeah. Definitely.
Harry, what was your favorite?
All.
Yeah. I see. Yeah.
Sal, we got a great Mr. Softy out here. So
really?
Anytime I have like a party, I get the guy to come now. Former student of mine. He's driving around the Mr. Softy truck.
Nice.
Yeah.
That's
Chris H. Just, by the way, Chris H. just sent me numerous pictures of him and his daughter after her game going to getting my Slurpee that I have, you know, from Sonic. That's
no
eight
doubt.
Different flavors with the nerds. They love it.
That's going to end up on those guys' pizza. All that stuff right there. And the
one,
cap
one
consequences.
Day, yeah. We got to somehow get hook up with Chris H. I'd like to personally meet him.
There you go.
Seems like a really
Ancala, Florida.
Is that where it is? Or give his address out, Harry. Why not? Yeah. All right, Chris H., thanks to you. That's another episode of Against All Odds. Go Mets. We will be back on Friday to recap that Mets-Yankee series. We'll have Sharp Tank. These guys will give UFC picks and so on and so forth. Weekend matchups. And like I said, that'll do it for another episode. For Spaghetti, for Meatballs, for Chris H., for Scott the Grizz Holmes, Babyface Joel Solomon, the Degenerate Trifecta, I'm Sal Singh. So long and happy handicapping. Na, 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 na,